On this week's Xamarin Show, I have my awesome and amazing friend Dan coming on. Dan, what are you talking about?
I'm going to be talking about the Prism Project Studio with lots of awesomeness for Visual Studio Mac.
This thing is awesome whether you're using Prism or not, so make sure you tune in. Welcome back, everyone, to the Xamarin Show. I'm your host, James Montemagno, and today I have a special guest, Dan, coming in talking about the Prism Project
Studio.
Awesomeness?
Yeah.
Studio?
Yeah.
It's like brand, these are like hot bits.
This is hot off the press. I literally compiled this about 5 minutes ago.
I love it. I'm a big fan of Prism, and I've been using the Visual Studio 2017 mm-hmm. extension. And it seems like you guys have built essentially an awesome VS for Mac extension mm-hmm. that doesn't like just Prism stuff, but also helpers for any application.
I mean, this is kind of like everything that I've learned over the years doing Xamarin development. It's all those little paper cuts that you have, yeah. you know, whether you're using Prism or any other framework as well.
Gotcha. So first off, before we get into the code, maybe tell everyone a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Well, I'm Dan Siegel. I am a Xamarin consultant. I work heavily on the Prism MVVM framework. I do mobile. I'm, you know, a coder at heart, you know.
Awesome. And we'll be talking pretty heavily about Prism. And yep. I also did a show with Brian Lagunas, so I'll put yes. that in the show notes below. So if you don't know about Prism, it's a pretty awesome cross-platform MVVM framework. Uh-huh. Came long ago from like WPF days,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, from the WPF yeah. days for sure. You know, we've been doing a lot of work on Prism too to kind of help facilitate those developers that have come from WPF. So we'll actually be releasing some major updates to Prism soon that'll bring even more of the WPF power into Xamarin Forms.
Yeah, and the nice thing that Brian really got across when we demoed Prism for Xamarin Forms, it's like a separate, kind of its own thing, really mm-hmm. highly optimized. So
yeah.
people think like, oh, I'm gonna bring in this huge framework. It's actually mm-hmm. quite small.
Oh, it's compact. Really small. It's very, very small. Yeah. But you know, it gives you testable code. Mm-hmm. You know, that's one of the biggest complaints I always had was, you know, I got this really tightly coupled code for my Xamarin project. I love Xamarin Forms, but I don't want something I can't really test and verify that it really works, right?
Especially when your application grows and your enterprise,
exactly.
you need testability, you kind of really need that separation.
Exactly.
So completely understand, yeah, and it's pretty great. So I'm really excited to see this stuff. Mm-hmm. Do you just want to hop into it?
Yeah, let's hop in.
Let's go over to your Mac.
Yeah, so if you take a look here, I've actually got a few different categories. I have a ton of tests, but a little bit in contradiction to my shirt today.
And we should say that, so you've installed the Prism Project
Studio
uh-huh. here into Visual Studio.
Yeah, so this is just an extension that comes right from the same extension marketplace that's already available in VS Mac.
So then you've added essentially this little Prism node. I see at module and test. So
correct.
Cool. So what does this mean, test? Is it specific that I am using Prism, or what is it?
No, this is not specific to Prism. This is really for any Xamarin Forms application at all.
Okay.
This is probably the least opinionated part of everything here. So I've really opened it up for, I don't know what test framework you like to use that you're most comfortable with.
Yeah.
I know when I look at a lot of your stuff, you seem to really love MS Test.
Yeah.
I use a lot of XUnit, and a lot of people love NUnit.
Yeah.
So I don't want to limit anybody based on what framework that they're already used to using.
Got it.
I want to make sure that they're able to just jump right in and test their Xamarin Forms application. So these project templates, they're not there like the basic, like if you just went file new XUnit or MS Test project.
Okay.
These are already wired up so that way you can test the Xamarin Forms application.
Gotcha. So it takes off some of that friction from
exactly.
file new.
It's how do I get started, you know, because I have to call the Xamarin Forms init, and how do you do that in a test framework?
Now, will this generate not only my apps, but also the test project, or does it generate just the test project?
These are just the test projects.
Okay, cool. So I've already created an app.
This is, you can create it as a standalone, or you can create it in an existing solution.
Cool. Awesome.
Yeah. So we've got our Prism applications, of course. I have that just a blank. This is no frills. It is a Xamarin Forms application with Prism.
Okay.
And you can select what container you want. That is about the extent of it. And then we have this Quick Start application. And there's all kinds of goodies in here.
Oh, cool. So this is kind of, if people are used to today, file new, you select maybe iOS and Android, and if you want XAML or not.
Exactly.
A few other tiny options. So it seems like you've built your own crazy awesome wizard of goodie bags.
Yes. So with this crazy awesome one, so I can say, you know, I want to create a new project called The Xamarin Show. It's going to pick up my naming. It's going to humanize that. So I have a nice, beautiful name to display on the home screen. It lets me customize that bundle ID. And it'll kind of remember too, you know, I mean, we all have our presets that we might have, you know, for what company we work with. So it'll remember that from app to app as I'm creating stuff. It'll remember your container. Now, I like to use Dry IOC. Now, the last one that I did here was Unity, so it picked that up.
Not to be confused with Unity, the game.
Not to be confused, you know, so not to be confused with the, yes, the Unity, the DI container. So I can...
Now, any of those containers, do those come from the Prism team, or are these just third-party containers?
These are third-party containers, yes. So Prism is very extensible, so you can write your own extension point for your own container as well.
Interesting.
So I can include a Xamarin UI test, I can include iOS or Android. You'll notice when I click Android, it actually lights up this option here. I can select what the minimum Android SDK level is as well. I have a bunch of different community projects that we can install. By default, it'll actually give me a sample application, so it'll give me that to-do experience. I always joke that's like the hello world of Xamarin, right? Yeah. So it gives you that experience of, you know, well, how do I jump in with a Prism application for Xamarin Forms? But if I don't want all of that boilerplate, I just click a checkbox and it pulls that out. But any of those community projects, any of the other options I select along the way, all that boilerplate will get put in, so I don't have to initialize stuff or add a new get or anything like that.
Cool.
I can choose a data provider like Realm or SQLite.
Oh, cool.
I can also say here I want to use App Center.
Yeah.
I can put in my App Center secrets for Android and iOS. It's of course dynamic for whatever platforms I have. I can say I want to use Azure Active Directory, and it'll let me configure that as well.
Well, that'll essentially then set up all the scaffolding, because we had Matthew on talking about Azure AD and some sample apps we built, and there's almost all of it's cross-platform, except for a little bit of here and there, and then InfoPila stuff, so it basically gets all that stuff for you?
It gets all of it for you.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah. That's very nice.
Yeah. So it's all in there. You don't have to do anything else.
Nice.
I've also got a app icon generator as part of that new experience. So I can just come in here, I can select an icon, and it'll resize everything. Now, it's not meant for that. I need that pixel perfect, like you need to shift this over.
Yeah. If your designer is giving you the icons and all the size, you should go add those.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if you got a 1024 by 1024, and you were going to put it in Sketch and have it spit out icons anyways, this is what this is going to
do. Exactly. You know, if you need something like real quick just to show your boss or your client or whatever, that's probably what you would use.
Got it.
Okay, and just with that, I can go ahead and create a new project. It's going to automatically initialize it as a Git repo. It's got custom Git ignore to do some things. I really believe, and I know you've written a few blog posts about using VSTS, and I think everybody should have some sort of CI set up.
Yeah, big fan.
So I've really optimized this for checking that in and having that build pipeline. Everything here is all optimized for that build experience.
That's probably the next thing to add to this is also spin up my VSTS instance.
That's actually coming.
Because there's a command line for it now, I think Donovan was telling me about it.
Yeah, so. that's actually coming.
Yeah, oh, that's awesome. I like that.
So I'll go ahead and jump into a project here that we've created. Now this one is actually using Unity.
Yep.
Now, one of the kind of gotchas that we've got with Unity is our navigation service has to be a named parameter. So when I go into my view model and, you know, you see I have the navigation service here. So if I say, you know, this is, you know, not right, it should pop up as broken.
So part of Prism, so this is a Prism application using Unity. And additionally, some things that Prism does is a full navigation service. So most developers are probably used to, I'm going to push this page.
Exactly.
And Prism kind of thinks of the flip is I want to push this unique identifier, which is more of a view model.
Exactly.
So, and it'll kind of marry the worlds together. So it brings them together. Say, oh, this page is associated with this view model. Make that connection.
Exactly. Exactly.
So it has to be a specific name is what you're saying.
In Unity, one of the limitations with the container, and this is not a Prism thing, this is a container issue that we have, is it has to be a named service.
Got it.
So if it's not named correctly, it won't inject. And we've certainly had some issues where people put, you know, something a little bit off. So this will automatically detect anything that isn't correct, and it'll give me that tooltip for, you know, hey, you need to rename this to.
So that part there is coming in from the Project Studio, kind of like a Roslyn analyzer or something.
Exactly,
like that.
It's a Roslyn analyzer to do that. So and there are a few other things in there that we'll, you know, we've added and that we'll be adding over time as well to kind of help developers.
Very cool.
So, you know, before I was talking about the secrets, you know, for like App Center or for Active Directory. Now there are, of course, a few things in there that, you know, you want to protect. So you can actually use this mobile build tools library, and that's included in these templates. And you have the secret.json that you put whatever parameters you want. It'll automatically generate the class, inject it in at build time, and it runs anywhere. It'll run in App Center without ever configuring a build script.
Oh, nice. Yeah, so today people might be used to, so you don't bury your keys in there.
Exactly.
Using some variable swapping, I did a blog post on how to set that up, which isn't too bad, but that's pretty nice, just kind of magically happen.
So, and it also will do that with your manifest, too. So if you have a tokenized manifest for like your Android manifest or your info plist, it'll reset those tokens, it'll copy them over.
Cool.
So you never check things into source control that have any kind of application secret or something that you want to define at build, like a back-end host or something.
Got it, makes sense. Nice.
Yeah.
And then what if I'm like scaffolding out the application, and what I mean by scaffold is like I need to add a new view, I need to add new pages. What else does can this thing help me with that? Because I know that's the thing with when I think of when I'm building a Xamarin Forms application, I have my page, I have my view model, I have my model. I'm kind of then bundling those together. But the idea of Prism was to do it automatically, kind of, right?
So. Yeah. So with that, you know, you really need your views and your views namespace and the view model and the view model's namespace with Prism. It's just a convention that we follow. That way, you know, it helps that the view model locator actually find where your view model is and wire it all up for you. But you know, sometimes I click on the wrong node in a project, so it really doesn't matter. I'll click up here on the solution, and when I go to add new file, I've got some new templates here. So I've got templates for all your Xamarin pages. I've also got like the pop-up pages, all of the layouts if I want to develop a custom control or any kind of partial view. So all of that's there. And when I go ahead and I add, you know, we'll say view B here, it'll wire that up automatically. It detected that I've got this view model base class in here.
Okay.
And it automatically added it. That's not hardwired. That's automatic. So I could make a change here in my view model base, and I can say I want to use, you know, some other service.
Sure.
Or, you know, I don't need all of the services here, and it'll inject in the constructor automatically.
Does it also create the views for me as well?
It does. Form? It will also create the views in here. So I've got my view A, view B already wired up.
All right, now I'm going to throw a real curveball at you. Did it make the marriage and the connection between the strings and the navigation service and my app XAML CS?
In this particular build, no.
Coming soon, I was there. I was like, oh, real magic.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was something I didn't have time to finish on that particular thing, but that will be there by the end of today.
Easy enough because it it pulls it all in there and gives you everything really, really nice.
Exactly. Okay.
Now, in this application, let's say that I come back into this application and that Quick Start Wizard like gave me a bunch of stuff, awesome stuff too, like the Azure AD, but also gave me like the icons.
Mm-hmm.
Or let's say I'm not using Prism, like can I still use some of that stuff?
Absolutely. Or, so as long as you have it installed, you know, again, I can click at the solution level. I've got a new option here to create the app icons, and I can do that at either the project or the solution level.
Okay, and then it just brings up a very similar dialogue. You select
exactly.
The same
it's
thing.
Literally the same widget with just a different wrapper. So you'll see again that same exact.
Very nice.
Yep.
So that's really nice because even if you're just building an application, maybe it's already getting ready to go, you're not using Prism, that's fine. You can still install this thing. It's going to actually give you some productivity extensions.
Exactly.
Visual Studio for Mac.
Exactly.
Very cool. The last thing I had a question on too, maybe you have a little bit more to show, is you keep saying that it's very extensible, Prism, and I saw this module thing in the template. I don't know what a module is. I don't think Brian covered it. Can you cover it real quick for people that may be interested?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, a real common scenario is I have some sort of authentication in my application, and maybe I'm developing, you know, two or three different applications for my company, but I'm only using one backend to authenticate. I have that common identity service that I'm using.
Got it.
So I can create a module that I can reuse across all the applications without redoing everything.
And it has like all the Prism kind of wiring. And
exactly. So you can put any kind of service that you might be using, views, view models. It's up to you what you want to put in there. And then you can initialize any additional code once it's loaded as well.
Very nice. I like that. Awesome.
So, and I'll show you like as well. We won't save. So there's actually two different module templates in here.
Oh, okay.
So the difference here is the first one, it's a blank. It's just one project that's a module. There's actually no longer a need in Prism 7 to tie a module to a specific container because we've abstracted out inversion of control completely. And so we've got that, and then you can also create a module with a shell application. So the scenario for this I actually ran into recently with one of my clients, and they have three different teams that are working in parallel on a single project. So each team has its own feature that they're working on, so each one needs to be able to test. Well,
got it.
This now allows for that kind of scenario, so you get a sample application to load up that one module and test, and then when you build, it'll generate a NuGet that you can push to your private feed.
Oh, that's really nice. Really cool. All right, anything else bundled in here that you want to show off at all? You think we crushed it all?
I think we got quite a bit in there for sure.
It's a lot of awesomeness. Yeah. This has been really cool. I'll put all the links in the show notes below, including not only to the video of Prism, but also the Prism GitHub, because it's all open source.
It's all open source. The mobile build tools I mentioned, that's open source. The pop-up plugin, which I didn't really show, but is in there as well. That's all open source.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Dan, this has been awesome. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
I love when people extend the tools that they're building in every day. It kind of shows not only how great the IDE is, but how flexible it is, and some of these awesome libraries. So thanks for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks everyone for tuning in. This has been another episode of The Xamarin Show. Don't forget to subscribe in your favorite application. If you're on Channel 9, down over there, YouTube up there, wherever it's at, ding that bell. Make sure you get those notifications right in your inbox each and every week. And until next time, I'm James, and thanks for watching.